If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Right, very mixed reaction to Geraldine and to Elaine there. I spent years competing at triathlon. Bun Mahan is the most dangerous beach I've ever swam in. The riptide is as strong as Bondi Beach. The ground goes away from you very quickly and becomes very deep, very close to shore. It's not suitable for amateur swimming, is one of our listeners, and quite a few in a similar vein coming into us there. Yeah, that's all very well and grand, but I mean, if you go down with kids and you see a beautiful beach and it's a beautiful sunny day and all, put up signs. Are there not signs there to say how dangerous it is? Are, you know, shouldn't there be flags up to say, do not swim here, it's dangerous? Surely there should be an indication of that to some degree. Anyway, delighted to be joined by Fergal O'Keefe of Travel Tales with Fergal. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good to talk to you today. I suppose this ties in somewhat into what we're talking about, because we will get on to staycation a little bit later on. But are you a swimmer, Fergal? Are you a...
Yeah, actually, you know, it's funny you were saying that, because I was kind of going, I agree everything that you say there, because, I actually go doing... Since lockdown happened, I've said to you before, I really started discovering Tipperary more than ever, and started going up last week. Twice I went up to Lake Mora, which is near Clonmel. And it's a gorgeous place to go for a swim, and a beautiful setting as well. You can kind of drive up there and then a short walk and you're on a lovely lake. And, you know, when you do jump in first, your heart kind of stops for a second. Or you could go in a wetsuit, but it's gorgeous up there. Or even, you know, so there is some great swimming around locally as well.
Right.
You know?
But just to take care, because the experience of those two parents, I mean, just absolute nightmares indeed. The digital green cert, we're told, from July in the EU and the 19th of July in Ireland. What difference will that make to us, do you think, Fergal? And who will it affect?
Well, I mean, basically what it's saying is that we'll be allowed non-essential travel. So in Europe, as you said, 1st of July, in Ireland or the 19th. So it means that if people want to go away on holidays from the 19th, they'll be able to. The question then is whether, you know, it is going to be the thing to do or not. I mean, one thing I would say, you know, when people think about, you know, we can go travelling from the 19th of July, I would say that the grass, you know, the grass is always greener. And traveling to Europe, it won't be the same experience this summer as it normally is, because there is curfews. I mean, in Spain, sort of 11:30, 12:00, everything has shut down.
I didn't realise that. Yeah.
Well, that's it. You see, you kind of forget that, because we're used to, you know, there is the same in Ireland. I mean, pubs have to shut at 11:30 as well, but it is the same. And you know that, you know, in Spain you'd be used to be eating out for dinner at that stage. So things will be a lot quieter. And I mean, you know, I have a friend who is for work who was traveling to Frankfurt last week, and he was saying that it was fine going through, but then the COVID check was after baggage check, and he said the airport was very quiet because it was really just people doing business travel. But you know, once tourists start travelling again from July on, you know, I think there could be major queues.
I can imagine. Baggage. What's the story with the PCR test at that point then? If you are vaccinated and if you have your digital green cert, you still have to have the PCR tests?
Well, it's really going to depend on that. What you'll have to check is if you decide where you're going, it's going to completely depend. Each country will still sort of have a say on whether they will need it or not. I would say that most countries will say that you won't need it once July 1st if you're fully vaccinated. And say for children then, children under 7, they don't need it. They don't need a PCR test. But from 7 to 18, they will need a PCR test. So in a way, you could call it, you know, a children's travel tax. And I think that's another thing that people don't know about at the moment. So it will be costly. Just say for me with 4 kids, if you travel, say, from July 19th, at the moment, the way things stand, you'd have to get 4 PCR tests on the way out.
Wow.
And you'd also have to get 4 on the way back, which would cost roughly, you know, if you kind of, I think the middle figure of the various costs, that would be €1,200. So your PCR test could cost the same as the flights.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's going to put people off, obviously, completely from doing this.
Yeah. I mean, on the other side, like, you know, things are changing, and the EU Commissioner for Justice has said that he is providing 100 million per country to offer up PCR tests, you know, to go towards the cost of that. But I don't know if, you know, Ireland are going to avail of that or other countries, you know, like France are offering free PCR tests for tours. You know, we don't do that in Ireland. So, I mean, even if just say you went to France and it was free on the other side, it would still be 600 on the Irish side, you know?
Yeah, the antigen might be the answer to this, but we're not grasping hold of that here yet.
No, I don't know why. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I really don't understand the reasoning, but I'm sure they do. But Netflix at the moment really aren't into the using the antigen test. I mean, I'm presuming it's to do with the accuracy.
Yeah, maybe seemingly so,
You know, it's not as accurate as a PCR test, but still, like, you know, from a point of view of, you know, it's still, I don't know what the figure is, 90% accurate or whatever. So, you know, and they're way cheaper. So, you know, a lot of other countries, like, say, Spain will allow that, but Ireland wouldn't. So really, you know, I'm thinking from the point of view of Irish tourists going abroad as opposed to, say, Spanish tourists coming into Ireland. So for Irish people, there is going to be costs and it is going to be a little bit different. And even the simple things like, you know, in an airport, you know, there won't be any, you aren't allowed into the airport unless you're travelling. So it will only people that are go, you know, so, you know, the way you'd normally see people waiting for people, things like the airports would be, that won't be allowed, and there'll be masks and there'll be way less seating and things like that.
Right,
so it will be quite a different.
It'll be a very different experience indeed. Yeah. I'm just wondering, in terms of us getting back to normality, what we would have loved about travelling, when do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's million-dollar question, isn't it? I still go, and I've been saying this for the last year, that once everybody... So, you know, by the 19th of July, the majority of Irish adults will have probably been fully vaccinated. And the funny thing is now we're actually starting to look like we'll be ahead of the UK. Mm. The UK were bombing ahead but giving one vaccine to adults and a much longer gap between the first and the second. But in Ireland, we've been, you know, generally it's a month between them. So we'll actually be pretty much fully vaccinated probably by the end of July anyway, I would think.
Mm.
So really, Ireland will be able at that stage. But then, you know, the big thing is the variants. I mean, they say that once you're vaccinated, two vaccinations help against that. But, you know, in other words, it has to be a European-wide thing, really, first, you know, how fast every country gets fully vaccinated, really, you know.
Of course. So I suppose the question to ask you then, taking into account everything you've said to us, Fergal, is staycation versus travelling abroad. I mean, thoughts?
Yeah. So personally, I would say staycation. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, travel experience is going to be more expensive. And it's, you know, as I said, like, you know, it's going to be very different. So the other thing is, from point of view of, you know, supporting local or the green jersey, I would say that the travel industry or the hospitality industry in Ireland has really taken a knock in the last year.
Mm.
So supporting them, I think, would be a good thing. And I think a lot of people did that last summer. And on the other side of the coin, I would say that people in the tourism industry have to make sure not to overcharge.
And that's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
That's the key. Mm. Because it has to be the long-term game. Because next winter or all season, it's Irish tours that are needed. Mm. Or to encourage people to do family holidays into the future in Ireland, so to give them as good an experience as possible.
Absolutely.
But
sadly, already we've been hearing on the programme over the last few weeks about astronomical fees.
I know.
You know.
And you know, the funny thing is even though people don't realise it, consumers are actually adding to that. And I know, and I was talking to someone the other day who was in a hotel in Killarney at the weekend, and they got spoken to a person beside them and said they were coming back to the hotel again. And they had booked the hotel once a month for the whole summer. And they then would decide whether they would take those bookings or not, because the hotel was fully booked out for the summer. So that, and that's what people were doing, is just block booking. And I'm planning to go to Cork in July after the Junction Festival. And we were talking to a lady, and I was talking to a lady in the B&B, and she was lovely. And she was just saying, please give me notice if you're not coming. Because she said, every weekend people are just not turning up.
Oh my God. Well, that's very damaging to the industry that's already facing huge difficulty. Before we go, I'm very interested in your podcast this week because it's a local gentleman.
Yeah, and so this is a brand new podcast for Tipperary Tourism called the Tipperary Tourism Podcast. And if you, as usual, if you just look up Tipperary, Google Tipperary Tourism Podcast, and it'll come up. And the first one is with John Nallon from Manila Racing or Hotel Manila. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, Tipperary is so synonymous with horse racing, and he's got such an amazing story this year with the two big winners.
Sure.
And you know, it was lovely talking to him. So, you know, it was a great chat talking about racing and what makes Tipperary so unique and so, you know, one of the leaders in the world, really, for racing. And it was a great chat with him, actually. So that
is... He's a great storyteller, isn't he? He's a
great character.
So when is that going up? When is that going to be available?
So it's actually up now.
Excellent.
If you just type in Tipperary Tourism Podcast, you'll see it, and the first episode is up now with John Nallon.
All right. And with your own travel tales, then, what can we expect from that, Fergal?
So with my own one, I'm actually on a break now. So season 3 will be coming. That'll be later in the summer because I'm basically, as I said, I was doing the Tipperary Tourism one. And the other one I'm in the middle of at the moment is the Clonmel Junction Festival podcast. So last week was the music one, and I had Jerry Fish and Paul Walsh and all the different people talking about the music program. And this week's one, it comes out every Thursday. And the one on Thursday, I had a great chat with Pat Kinnifer about theatre and about his acting career. So it's all about the theatre program. And Eva O'Mahony, who's from Tipperary, talking about her play, and another girl talking about whose name is popped out of my head.
Yes.
So it was a great one because we're talking about theatre and acting.
Excellent.
I'd recommend that one.
It sounds great. Always a pleasure, Fergal. Look after yourself and thanks for coming on with us today. Fergal O'Keefe there of Travel Tales with Fergal. That's it for me. Emma produced. Stephen's on the way with the Time Tunnel and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.